Dear friends, in Jesus Christ, today is part 5 of our series, The Child of Promise and Fulfillment. Let me give you a quick recap of what we've done so far. So going back to part 1, we had the reality of God adopting us, poor, miserable sinners, into His holy family. Isn't that so incredible? That was part 1. Part 2, that was about God's messenger, John the Baptizer, and he was promised that he would come into the world. And then part 3, 400 years later, he shows up. He is born of Elizabeth, even though she was beyond the years of being able to bear a child. It was a miracle. And then part 4, last Wednesday, that was focusing on our Savior, who is the Son of Righteousness. He was promised. Today, we're into part 5, and we're going to hear more from Zacharias, and he's going to tell us what God the Father is going to do through his son John, and then through God's son Jesus, in order to gift us with forgiveness and with peace. The two things that we desperately need, God is going to provide them, and today Zacharias is going to tell us about such things. Our text today, only 4 verses. We're in Luke chapter 1, looking at verses 76 through 79. Let me go ahead and read the text here and put it out before you. Now this is, keep in mind, Zacharias talking about his son, and then he's going to talk about Jesus. He said, "And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go ahead of the Lord to prepare his ways, to make known to his people that they can be saved by the forgiveness of their sins, because our God is merciful and will let a heavenly sun rise upon us to shine on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Let's focus a little bit on each of those verses here as I go through the rest of the sermon. So going back again to the first verse, verse 76, again it says, "And you, child," this is Zacharias talking about his own son, "and you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High." Why? "For you will go ahead of the Lord to prepare his ways." So think about God Most High. That's talking about God the Father. What did he do? He planned to save us. So at just the right time, he sends John into the world through Elizabeth in order to prepare the way for his son. I want to give you a quick way to think about Old Testament, New Testament. When we think about the Bible, it's a big book and there's a lot of information in there, but a real simple way to think about it is like this. So in the Old Testament, God promised to send his son. We come to the New Testament and God actually sends his son to do the work to take away our sins. So the Bible really is a very simple, basic book, but yet there is also, as you know, so much more. When we think about John, he is an Old Testament prophet. And where does he rank among the Old Testament prophets? Well, let's understand, he is the last of the Old Testament prophets, and he is the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. Why is he the greatest? All the other prophets, they prophesied about the Son of God who would come, and they didn't even know quite when, but they did not see him. Think about John. He saw Jesus face to face, and also, too, he was the one, like, here is John, here is Jesus. He was right out in front of him, only 6 months different in age, and he was preparing the people. He was preparing the hearts of the people so that when Jesus came on the scene, they would be ready to receive the Savior of the world. As we think about John's preparation, let me try to talk about this in a little bit of a different manner. So imagine that your job was to be a water salesman. Now, I'm not talking about big volumes of water. I'm talking about drinking water. So you're going to sell drinking water. What would be really important? It would be important if you had customers that were all extremely thirsty. Wouldn't that make it so easy to sell them drinking water? Well, I want to tell you a quick story here. So some of you might know the name Marcus Luttrell. So he is the lone survivor. You might remember the situation back in 2005. He's a Navy SEAL with that four-member team. They go into Afghanistan, and they're going to complete a mission, or hope to complete a mission, and they get into a horrible situation. Maybe you've seen the movie, maybe you've read the book, but what ends up happening, though, is those four men get in multiple gunfights. All three of them are, the other three are killed. He's the only one left, and he's trying to escape from the enemy, and he ends up falling down the side of the mountain multiple times. He should have died with each fall, but he did not die. He had multiple broken bones. He had multiple gunshot wounds. He had a broken back. And yet with all of that, this is the statement that he made. He said, "Finding water was the only thing I could think about. All I cared about was my thirst." When I think about that, that's kind of what John was called to do, is to make people thirsty, to make them hungry for God's forgiveness, pointing out to them that they have sin, and that sin is going to condemn them forever and ever, and they need forgiveness in the most desperate way. We understand that, don't we? We know that. Does the rest of the world know that? In most cases, they don't. But let's be thankful that God has made that known to us, and he has given us the gift of forgiveness. Going on to the second part here, we have Zacharias now, and he's going to speak regarding the task of his son John. He picks up in verse 77, to make known to his people that they can be saved through the forgiveness of their sins. So why is saving so important? Well, we have sin, and yet when we think about sin in the truth of what it is, what sin does is it kills spiritually and it condemns eternally. God wants us to know that's true. Even for the smallest sin, it has the power to kill spiritually and to condemn eternally. When people go through life and they think that sin is no big deal, how do they think about Jesus? They think Jesus, and even if they know what he did, they would think, oh, that's no big deal either. Sin is no big deal. Jesus is no big deal. God wants us to know sin is a big deal. Let me try to talk about it like this. Think about a roaring campfire, and it's a cold night, and you want to get close to the fire, and it's such a nice experience, isn't it? You're cold, you can get up near the fire and feel warm. That is nice. Now imagine not being near the fire, but imagine being in the campfire. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? What if somebody said, "We're going to grab you, or we're going to throw you in there"? Would you be terrified at that? We should be. We don't want to be in that fire. But what does the Bible say about those who die without Jesus? We have a number of statements in the Bible that describe that. The Bible says it is eternal punishment. It is everlasting destruction. It is a blazing furnace. It is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is the fiery lake of burning sulfur. When I think about those horrible words, I know that God is a God of great love. God made us. God has sent his son. God provides all that we need. God is a God of great, great love. God is doing all of that for everyone, whether they believe in him or not. But yet, at the same time, God wants us to understand there is that other side of the coin, so that all who ultimately reject Jesus as Savior, they're going to fall to everything I just said about all the horrors of being in the fire. I mean, even for myself, if it wasn't in the Bible, I would say that can't be true. But because it is in the Bible, I know it is true. Again, let us rejoice that we have Jesus. We have been rescued from that. But let us have great compassion toward those who do not yet know Jesus. When we think about it, God has done everything necessary. Forgiveness is being freely offered. It is a gift. Nothing to do to earn it. Can't deserve it, but it's a gift. It's right there waiting for everyone to receive, but they need to know their need. As John helped people know their need, may God help us to talk with others and help them to know their need so that they might be hungry and thirsty for the gift of forgiveness. Going on to part three here, this salvation is because our God is merciful and will let a heavenly sun rise upon us. So when it says that God is merciful, really what that means is God has a heart of mercy, a heart of mercy. So let's think about those two words for a moment. So heart, what does that mean? Heart is the deep inner seat of tender emotions. So this isn't some kind of a surface kind of a thing. I mean, this is deep within God. He has this heart of tender emotions. In other words, God has a great love for all people, whether people love God, whether they hate God, no matter how much they sin, God has a deep, deep love for them. That's the heart of God. Now, what about mercy? Mercy is an attitude and emotion roused by the affliction of another. So think about it from God's perspective. Here is this God of great love. He has made us. He loves us. He knows people are without his son. He knows what they're going to face forever and ever. And yet his heart of mercy is just so much wanting them to know the truth and to receive Jesus and to be set free. Isn't it so wonderful that we have such a great and awesome and loving and compassionate God? Wow, we deserve none of that. None of us do, but yet that's who God is. So this merciful God, what does he decide to do? He decides, I'm going to send the Son of Righteousness. What are some other names for the Son of Righteousness? He is the heavenly sun. He is the day spring. He is the morning star. He has healing in his wings, and he is coming to give us that healing. We all have a terminal illness, and that illness is sin. But in Christ, we have received the healing. Everybody has the same terminal illness. Everybody needs that healing, and the healing is in Christ, and the healing comes to us never because we are good. It comes to us only because God is good. We should keep that straight in our hearts and minds. Finally, at the end here, Zacharias is speaking regarding the purpose of the Son of God. So he said, to shine on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. So think for a moment about artificial light. Here we are right now in this room, we have artificial light. Of course, if we turned off the lights, we have daylight coming in. But with the artificial light, though, a lot of people are living in an artificial kind of a situation regarding light. So the ones who are, in a spiritual sense, they would say that sin is not a big deal because I'm a pretty decent person and I think God will welcome me into heaven. So they're in like this artificial light. In other words, they kind of think maybe the light of God is shining down upon them, and they kind of think they're okay, but it's an artificial light. It's not the true light of the world, who is Jesus Christ. But it spoke there in the text about those who sit in darkness. What can we say about the darkness? I like the way Lenski put it here. He wrote, people sitting in darkness, they are utterly helpless, tired, worn out, giving up the struggle, hopeless. That's what it means to sit in the darkness. We have to be in the true darkness before God can help us understand that we need the true light, who is Jesus Christ. Also, too, it said people are in the shadow of death. Now, think about being outside when the sun is out and a shadow is cast. If you're in the shadow of someone else, that means maybe a person is standing there and the sun is shining this direction and, oh, I'm in that person's shadow. In other words, if we're in the shadow of death, what does that mean? That means death is like right there. That's what God wants us to understand. Without Jesus, death and hell, they are right there. So we're in the shadow of death, or I should say, we were in the shadow of death. God showed us we were in the shadow of death. He made known our helplessness, and He has given us His Son. We are so very blessed. And then John's mission, think about it, it told us there at the end, his mission is to guide us into the way of peace. What's that really talking about? Guide us into the way of peace. Some people might say, oh, I'm at peace, I'm calm, I feel secure, I'm at rest, everything is okay. That's not what that's talking about. To be guided into the way of peace means to be guided into a relationship with God Almighty. That's what that means. We don't simply know about God. We know Him. We have a relationship with Him. We are His holy children. He is our dear Father. He is with us now. He is providing all that we need, and He's going to someday take us home to His house in heaven. That's what it means to be in relationship with Him. We have this great blessing of peace. We don't have anything to fear. We don't have anything to worry about because God is our Heavenly Father and His Son is our Savior and everything is okay. May God help us to know such things and rejoice in them always. Let me conclude like this today. Unforgiven sinners, we could say unrepentant sinners, they will be eternally condemned. Do we want that for anyone? Think about your worst enemy. Think about the person who has hurt you most in this life. Even for that person, we should not want eternal punishment for them. Let's understand that is so horrible. We don't want that for anyone. We want God to work in this way, that God would take every one of our enemies and God would convert them in the depth of their being. God would convert them and make them our friends. That would be the best thing. Let's pray for people in that way. Something relevant, believers, you and me, we have God's forgiveness through Jesus. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. It is God's gift to us. Let's rejoice in what God has done. And then finally, peace is true friendship with God through Jesus. When I think about even praying the Lord's Prayer and pray, Our Father who art in heaven, that's like, how can you wrap your head around this idea that God Almighty is our Father and that we are His true children? That's what Dr. Luther was thinking about when he tried to explain the Lord's Prayer. I can't wrap my head around that either, but yet, according to the Bible, we know it is true. What does that all mean exactly for eternity? We don't know all the details, but it is going to be so, so very awesome. Let us be thankful for what God has done for us, and let us care deeply about others so that they might know Him too. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we are so blessed to know Your truth. We're so blessed to have godly sorrow, and we're so blessed to have the gift of faith by which we trust in Your Son as our Savior. Thank You so much for all those great blessings. Finally, as You have been so compassionate to us, move us to be so compassionate to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.